This is Worldviews. I'm Suzette Gorlot. It's a new year, Joshua Landis, Rebecca Cruz, and yet there's still war and destruction in the headlines. So, Joshua, you've been telling us for some time now that the war in Syria was going to eventually spill over its borders. We've seen it happen a little bit here and there, but that you've been telling us this is going to become a region-wide conflict. And here we see it happening, right? We see Lebanon is now experiencing some significant violence that's associated with what's going on in Syria. Car bombs in Beirut, for example. But now, this week, two major cities in Iraq were attacked, and major Islamic fighters there, Islamist fighters, extremists, fighting under the same banner that those in Syria are fighting under. So here we have this growing conflict, not just growing in Syria, but now in its neighbors. What's going on here? What is it going to take? Where is this headed?
Well, it is the sectarian tensions and deepening civil war in Syria has really exacerbated the situation in both neighbors. Iraq, just last week, Elouani, a member of parliament, was encouraging demonstrations in Ramadi against the government for their discrimination against Sunni Muslims. And his brother was killed. Videos were viral about with troops with their feet on the brother's head as he was killed and family members mowed down. This just inflamed sense of indignity. And the reaction to that was that ISIS, this Islamic State in Syria and Iraq, this pan-Al-Qaeda-linked militia, overran Ramadi and Fallujah, or tried to, made big inroads in it, two major Sunni cities. And that's an Al-Qaeda group. We had, you know, just been proclaiming that we had destroyed Al-Qaeda, or mostly destroyed Al-Qaeda. And here it is back. And it's back because of the Syrian violence, which has really stoked the flames of Sunni-Shiite conflict.
So obviously this sectarian violence deepening in this region. But I mean, we've had a peace conference planned. I mean, this is coming up, right?
Absolutely.
In a couple of weeks. So I mean, what is the impact this is going to have on that?
We're trying to contain this. And the way we're trying to do it is by having a UN-sponsored peace negotiations in Switzerland on the 22nd of January. But invitations to members of the Syrian opposition haven't even gone out yet because they can't decide who to invite. It's chaos. It looks like it's not going to happen. And it's supposed to have happened already a few months ago. So we're just kicking the ball down the road. And America has less and less influence in Syria because it didn't really play much of a role. And Obama has, by not getting us into the situation and not getting a skin in the game, as people in Washington were calling it, we don't have a lot of leverage. And that's the price of not, you know, sending lots of money and arms.
Well, so what's going to be that next red line, if you will, that red line, right, with the chemical weapons? What is it going to take? What's going to have to happen? Who
well,
has
good
to become
news
involved?
Is the chemical weapons. Even though we've missed a deadline, and that was a big thing today, because by the end of the year, chemicals were supposed to be moving out of Syria onto this Norwegian boat. And that hasn't happened. But everybody is quite happy with the progress that's being made. And they say it's just a matter of time. But that is a good thing. And it decreases. I don't know what the next red line is. The problem in Syria is that Al-Qaeda and more Islamist jihadist groups have grown more powerful. And we're going to see a mad rush by the United States to try to get some kind of peace agreements. But we're far away from meaningful peace agreements today. And that's going to drag on for a long time.
Well, it seems further and further away by the day.